Glory to God. Let's pray and we'll open in prayer tonight. Lord, we're so good. You're so good to us and we're so grateful for you being with us. Lord, we just want to declare your goodness over us. We're so thankful for everything that you've done for us. We want to acknowledge your goodness. You've been so, so, so good to us. And we just want to acknowledge your presence here tonight. We're going to be in your word. And the moment that we read just a letter out of your word, we know that we're in your presence because your word and you are one. And so, Lord, we just want to give you the praise and the glory and the honor for all that you're going to do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. God is good. I want to read out of Psalm 27. So if you have your Bible, get it out, open it up. Look at somebody else's, open your phone up, whatever you've got. But Psalm 27, this is not on the notes, guys. This is different. I'm not going to sing tonight because I've been fighting a little bit of a throat issue, but glory to God, I'm healed in Jesus' name. But in Psalm 27 and verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Now, has anybody ever dealt with fear of any kind? Right? I mean, does fear come to all of us? Does it? I mean, and I think that there's a natural fear, like, you know, if you're coming up to a cliff and you see that the drop-off is 300 feet, there's a natural response. You say, you know, there should be some caution that's laid here, right? But what I'm saying is that anything that we face in life, the more that we know that God is with us, the less that fear can have a hold of us. Are you with me? And so tonight, as we're going through this, instead of praise and worship, I want you to acknowledge God is with you in your fear. And so, do you have a scripture when fear comes to you that you can grab a hold of? Right? Do you have one? Or is there one? So when I say to you, if fear was talking to you tonight, what scripture would you use against it? Do you have an answer for that? Well, fear not, for I'm with you. That's good. Okay, that's good. Where's that found? Joshua's one of the places. See, why this is so important is so that you know that you know that you know that you have something to stand against. If we've already said it, that we've all been in a place where fear can grab a hold of us, right? And it's something that's common to us. And especially if we're looking at today's events or what's going on in the world, or you watch the news or anything, and especially if you listen to, well, I won't go there, but you just, sometimes you have to have something to fight against the fear, because our fight in ourselves and keeping ourselves where we're trusting God is all about knowing that He is with us. And again, I'll read this again. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." I like that, because what that's saying is, if it seems dark, you have a light. Right? And that light means He's going to show me where to go. He's going to show me what to do. The Lord is my light and my salvation. So when we're worshiping the Lord, when we're talking to the Lord, especially in the midst of life, right? Because if somebody said, you know, you get saved, all your troubles are over, they lied to you, right? In fact, Jesus, His, you know, inspiring words were, you know, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, right? Well, thanks a lot, Jesus. I thought, you know, if I came to you, you know, everything would be all right. You know, people wouldn't be mean to me anymore. I wouldn't have any bills. I mean, I thought everything in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good courage, because I've overcome the world. With the emphasis is that I'm with you. And if I've overcome, you've overcome, right? So again, a scripture, has anybody found one that they can read? Miss Janine. I'm going to do it this way so the people who are watching online can hear.
It was Psalms 56.
Okay.
Oh,
she said she had it, and her phone messed up. It wasn't her fault.
It wasn't.
Okay. You got one? Who's got one? All right.
Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness.
You get a gold star for tonight.
Psalms 56:3. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me?
Come on. Come on. Come on. Anybody else have one they want to read? Anyone have one that they don't want to read, but will read anyway? Glory to God. There's so many. I mean, you can just... In fact, somebody said, and I haven't counted them all out, but there's over 360 fear not verses in the Bible.
Yeah.
And I like that because there's 365 days in a year. So if you just took one verse per day and kind of started to meditate on that, then when fear comes up, and it will come up, you have something to fight that fear with.
Yeah.
Right? Somebody said that fear and faith were polar opposites, and I think there's some truth in that, because fear is when you believe, and really the crux of it is fear is that you have some sort of sense that you're alone facing what you're going to face. And faith is God is with me, and I have somebody that I'm facing life with, right? If God be for me, who can be against me? So it's like, in our fear, when fear comes to us, we need to attack it with something. And my testimony is this, and I've shared it several times, but the scripture that Renita quoted out of Isaiah 41:10, it saved me when fear became real to me in a tangible way. There was something that was threatening our home and our life that was real. It was there. And it was that type of thing that it came on you like, I can say it no other way, but a black cloud that came over and sat over our lives for a few months. But God gave us that scripture in a supernatural way. And I'd quote it over and over and over again several times a day because of the thoughts that were bombarding me. I'd say, no, fear not, for I'm with thee. Be thou not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will uphold thee with my righteous right hand. And that there's so much in all of that. His righteous right hand is where all of his power is.
Yeah.
Right? And if God is holding you with his righteous right hand, and he's all powerful,
Yeah. Then
you're in pretty good hands, right? I mean, everything at his disposal is there to correct whatever you're going through and help you through with whatever you're going through, right? I mean, it's like, come on, God is with me. God is for me. And I have to be at the place where I believe that and that I'm operating in that and that I've got a hold of that. So it's good when you have your Bible and you can just go to scriptures like Psalm 56, or you can go to even, the 23rd Psalm and say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I mean, if he's with me, if he's really taking care of me, then I'm taken care of. I can trust that. I know that he's there for me. And even if things just seem to be haywire and going all kinds of wrong, I know that God's with me. In fact, Paul, when he was talking about it, he said it this way. He said, these light afflictions that I have going on in my life right now, have you read about those light afflictions? Shipwrecks, back beaten, in jail for years at a time.
Yeah.
Just over and over again, some really rough things that he went through. He said, they're nothing in comparison with the eternal weight of glory that I feel on me all the time, that I know is with me all the time. What is that glory? That glory is the presence of God overshadowing our lives. Come on, He's with me. He's for me. And I cannot allow myself to get down if He's pulling me up. Glory to God. And I love this scripture. The psalmist said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging for bread. Glory to God. Glory to God. And I believe that's true. How about you?
Amen.
So what I encourage you to do is grab a fear not scripture. And maybe grab a few of them. And just put them in your arsenal so that when fear comes to you, you have something to fight that fear with. Right?
Amen.
And this is true. Fear comes at us, and I'm not preaching on fear really tonight, but fear comes at us in so many different avenues of our lives, right? In our provision, we can get afraid. In our relationships, fear can try to overtake us, right? In our health, fear can come. In our mental aspect, fear can try to overtake us. But we have to have the arsenal of fear not scriptures and stand on those and fight against the thoughts that are trying to keep us out of the confidence that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, if you get it in your Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Tonight I want to talk to you about the subject, whom do we serve? Whom do we serve? As Bob Dylan, when he got saved and was in his Christian experience, he wrote a song. It was, "You Gotta Serve Somebody." Come on, I'm not going to sing it, but I could. You gotta serve somebody. It might be the devil, or it might be the Lord, but you gotta serve somebody. And tonight, I just want to look at that. Because over the last few days, and actually the last few years, and looking at the state of what I call the church in general, I'm afraid that we've compromised who we're serving. And it's showing on the effect that we're having of blending in with the world instead of changing the world. And so we'll just get into this and you'll see what I'm talking about. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and starting at verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators or idolaters or adulterers nor homosexuals or sodomites nor thieves or covetous or drunkards nor revelers or extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And I'm not signaling out any group of people. I'm just saying that those who are openly walking in sin and mocking God with that sin, the Bible says they will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're going to see that all of us probably had a part in this in some fashion, and the enemy still tries to come at us with some of these things, but we have to come to the conclusion at some point that there is righteous living and there is unrighteous living. And if we compromise ourselves in the righteous living, the unrighteous living will not just stay dormant, it will start to take over. Thank you for your enthusiasm. And so why am I saying all this? To put a downer on you? No, I'm trying to wake us up that God is holy. I said God is holy. And He wants us holy. And if we're compromising where we know that we shouldn't be, then God wants us to repent and get back where we should be. Are you with me? This might not be real popular, but it's okay. But look at verse 11. It says, and he went through all of the categories of sin. And he said, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of our God. In other words, all of us had stuff. All of us, you know, the Bible says that we're all sinners. We're all that way. We're all, but we've been justified. We've been brought under the blood of Jesus. We are different than we used to be. And so if I had anything to say tonight, it's like, please recognize where you've come from and where you've been placed to, and start living a life that reflects who you are now, not who you were then. Does that make sense to you? The church as a whole, instead of trying to fit in with who we used to be, need to reflect something completely different than what the world sees out there. And this might not be popular in drawing people who are involved in some of the things that God lists in His Word. It might not be popular in drawing them. They might not like it real well. But if they ever get in trouble and want to find and get a hold of somebody who knows God, they're going to come to a place where people aren't like them. Right? And I'm not saying that we're holier than them. I'm not putting us like we're the select few and all of that. But what I'm saying is that we have to live our lives dedicated to the one that we're supposed to be serving. And that looks certain ways. Listen to what he says in verse 12. He says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. This is so powerful. And I'm not going to go into every detail of it because I'd be put under conviction too much. Right? Right? But I also have to look at it for myself and say, is there anything that I'm under the power of that I shouldn't be under the power of? Is there something, whether it's a stronghold, whether it's something, who am I serving? Am I serving myself? Am I serving the world? Am I serving the devil? Or am I truly serving God? Verse 13 says, food's for the stomach, and the stomach's for food. But God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. Yeah. You don't hear that verse preached a lot, but the reality is that our bodies, even these physical, as we talked about, mobile homes that we live in down here, they don't belong to us anymore because the Spirit of God is housed on the inside of them. And what you do with your body, with your mind, is important. Amen. And we have to reflect on, am I serving God with my body or am I not serving God with my body? Am I serving God with my mind or am I not? Look at God, verse 14, it says, and God raised up the Lord, who will also raise us up by His power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make it members of a harlot? Certainly not. Certainly not. This isn't saying, well, you know, you're saved and God's grace covers you and anything you want to do, God understands. He understands. I'm only human. That kind of thinking will get you into the trap of going down into the cesspool that you climbed out of. And God is saying, no, wait a minute. That body that you're walking around in, that body that you're doing what you're doing with, whether, you know, sinful or not sinful, that belongs to me. That was consecrated to me. So what you do, where you go, what you think, what you're a part of, that has a direct relation or correlation to me. And so we need to start thinking that way. Glory to God. Verse 16, or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one with, in body with her? For the two shall become one flesh. I mean, people don't like to hear this, and I'm telling you, I've married a lot of Christians who live together and think that that's okay, and that after all, you know, I had this one particular lady said, well, I would never marry somebody that I hadn't tried. That was her attitude. And I, where did that come from? That comes from the communication with the world. That's how the world thinks. But that's not how the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that, listen, there's something so sacred about your body and her body, or, you know, whatever that's involved with it, that their spirits are housed there. And when you come together in an intimate situation, your spirit to spirit, there's something there that's not supposed to be there unless it's in covenant. Right? And so as Christians and as a church, we said, well, you know, I guess it's okay. Don't worry about it. It's all. And I'm more convinced that it would be better for us with people in that situation to say, look at, if that's what you're involved with, what I want you to do before I'll marry you is I want you to repent. I want you to separate and not go there. And so that can be put under the blood, so that when we get married, it can be right before God. Do you see where I'm saying? I don't want to be religious about it, but on the other hand, I think we've compromised to where we've said, let's just go back and do whatever we want to do. And it's like, whom are we serving? And verse 17, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. But he who's joined with the Lord, when you got saved, when you got born again, you got one spirit with him. You're connected with him eternally, spiritually. You're one with the Lord. So the Lord's with you, right? And so look at what he says in the next verse. So flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. And if you're sinning against your own body, you're sinning against the one that you're one with in the Spirit. Aren't you glad you came tonight? Hallelujah. No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? I'm in the wrong place. That's good, though, all right? Verse 18 again. Flee sexual immorality, every sin that a man does outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who's within you, of whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Is your spirit God's? Well, I'm telling you, your body's God's too. Your body is God's too. It belongs to God. It matters what you do to your body, with your body. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Now, I believe that the next great move of the Spirit of God is coming. It's here. And I believe that it's going to happen a lot with young people, right? But I'm also convinced that one of the things that will come back to the church is the reverential fear of the Lord.
Amen.
What do I mean by that? There's an awe. God is powerful. He's holy. If God showed up in this room in His glory, we'd all be on our faces on the carpet because He's holy, right? And there's an awe. There's a reverence that comes with standing in front of somebody that has a position of authority, and God has that position over our lives. Chapter 4, and go to verse 25. It says, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one with another."
Amen.
You know, we need to begin to tell each other the truth in love. And learn how to do it in such a way that, and man, I am so at fault in this. That I want to be a people pleaser instead of a God pleaser. And God's dealing with me about it. He said, no. You need to learn to tell people the truth in love. Not that you're better than them, but the truth is the truth and you need to speak it. And so that's why I'm speaking the way I am tonight.
Amen.
And you're just lucky enough to be here tonight. Hallelujah. It says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." In other words, watch this. Anger, all emotions are not wrong when they're handled correctly. Right? But don't let it boil up. Don't let it fester over. Now, verse 27. "Nor give place to the devil." Nor give place to the devil. "Let him who steals steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to whom he is in need. And let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Watch it. It says, do not give place to the devil. What does that mean? Don't give him an open door. Don't let that sucker in at all. And what does that mean? That means anything that he's been talking about here, don't be involved with it. Don't tell yourself it's okay to lie a little bit. Don't tell yourself it's all right to cuss a little bit. Don't say it's okay to, you know, gossip a little bit. Well, you know, I'm just, you know, Sister Susie needs prayer and I want to tell you about it so that we can pray together. And so you spend the next 10 or 15 minutes telling how bad the situation is, and then you spend 30 seconds praying, and then you call the next person on the prayer chain and do the same thing. What have you done? You've just let corrupt communication come out of your mouth. And it's giving place to the devil. And the church is so compromising that we're giving place because we don't want to look religious now. We don't want to feel like we're being religious. But what we've done is we've compromised and we're starting to give place, giving a foothold for the devil to come into our house. Oh, I'm going to get in so much trouble, but it's okay. Watch this now. We're allowing ourselves to get, I mean, Christians reading horoscopes.
Amen.
Stop it.
Amen.
Playing with Ouija boards. Stop it. You know, doing anything that's connected with the occult in any way, what you're doing is you're opening a door for them to come in. I guess they thought we were too religious, but Renita and I wouldn't let our kids watch the Smurfs or anything that had anything to do. Well, that's not so bad. This isn't so bad. This isn't. No, well, she's a good witch. Right? Well, she's a white witch, you know. She's not so bad. We're giving place to the devil. And it's time for us to recognize that and stop it and put it out of our lives. What we're saying is, well, come on, God. You know, you and I, we're going to go have our horoscope read. We're going to put on this goblin costume and do this incantation because it's just for fun. It's not fun in the spirit. And it's real in the spirit. And there are witches that are doing it right now. And what we're doing is we're opening a door. We're giving place. And God is saying, look it. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Walk in me. Why would you want to walk and get your horoscope read or your, you know, tarot cards read when you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you? And he said he would guide you into all truth. We need to come back to the Bible and walk in reverent fear before God and not allow ourselves to go down roads that we shouldn't go down. Go to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Glory to God, glory to God. Why am I saying this and why? Because that's, I think it's important. It's important to know that I can't even for a second compromise what God is doing in my life. And especially at this time and at this hour, we need the purity of the Word of God coming from our lips, and it can't be compromised with something else. I'm going to get off on a few things and it just needs to be said. YouTube is not your friend. If you're listening to some of the crackpots that are calling themselves Christians that are on there, right? If they're denigrating everybody else, there's something wrong, right? If there's prophets or prophetesses, like there's this one gentleman that's on there, and I mean, he's everywhere. But he's saying, listen, you can't truly understand the Bible or the Word of God unless you have a prophet interpreting for you. That's absolute garbage. That's absolute garbage, and that's going back to that same spirit of Catholicism that says that you must have the priest give you the Word of God because you don't have the spiritual sensitivity to read it. It's garbage. And you have other people, and it's tickling the ears. I go to heaven every day. I go to heaven, I do this, and I see these marshmallow mountains, and you see all of this stuff. Come on, stop listening to that. It's not God. And you need to stop it. You know, here's the deal. And you'll know it. If somebody is speaking on the YouTube or something, and there's just something inside of you right here, you go, boy, that did. I mean, all this sounds really good, but this right here just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. There's something not right. I'm telling you, you better pay attention to that. Because this other is pulling you into something that you don't need to listen to. You don't need me. You don't need anybody else to have the Spirit of God reveal Himself to you in the Word of God. God uses me. God uses other gifts. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that there's not a true prophet. There's not a true pastor, teacher, evangelist. There are. But whenever they put themselves between you and God, run. 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 Because it's absolutely, we only have one mediator between man and God, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is in heaven forever making intercession for us, right? It's Jesus. Now, Jesus will use other people. Don't misunderstand me. But when they puff themselves up, they're giving place to the devil to get into Christian witchcraft. Okay. Let's get back to the Word. Excuse me. 16:16. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim the way of salvation." That's a great thing to say. These men are men of the Most High God, and they're proclaiming the way of salvation. What's wrong with that? It's not what was being said, but it's the Spirit that was saying it. Now I like this. I like this. Now watch this. He said, and verse 18, "And this she did for many days." So she just didn't do it one day. They went to prayer every day, every day, every day. And this guy was following her. These guys are guys of the Most High God. And so I'm sure Paul was going, "That's pretty good. That's right. That's right. We are. She's kind of proclaiming it." But something inside, the first day is, "Well, I'll just, maybe it'll get better." The next day, "Well, maybe it'll get better." But it just kept gnawing. No, there's something off. There's something off. There's something off. And for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit. This got him in great trouble, by the way. We're not going to get into all that, but it got him into great trouble. But he finally recognized it, and rather than giving place to it, he spoke to it. What does that have to do with you and me? When God begins to deal with us about something, or maybe someone that's not speaking the truth into your life, you need to speak to the Spirit that's behind it, that's trying to take you away from what God has for you, and say, "I don't think so. I'm coming against you in Jesus' name. I'm not going to go down that rabbit trail with you in Jesus' name." I can't tell you how many times I've had people come to me and they come up with something that sounds pretty good, but there's something that here is just, it's not right. There's something off. There's something off. And I've even gone to them and told them, "Listen, there's something off. Don't do this. Don't go this direction." And they go anyway. This one gentleman, he was, he got saved, got delivered from drugs, doing good. Coming every time church doors were open and listening to the Word of God, And he was called of God. Called of God. I knew it. But he started listening to this spiritual brother that was in Puyallup. And he started not being at church so much, but he was with the spiritual brother. And all of a sudden he got his own ministry. But he came to me during that time. He was at one of the services, and I said to him, I said, you might have many teachers in the body of Christ, but you don't have many fathers. God put you here for me to be your father. You need to stay here. He didn't do it. And it wasn't too much longer that he was shipwrecked. Why? Because he didn't listen, and he gave place to a spirit that sounded like God, that looked like God, but if you checked in your heart, it wasn't God. And watch this. It can be so close that it's just a degree off. Just a degree off. But if you were flying a plane and you were flying from here to Sydney, Australia, and you started out from SeaTac and you thought, well, it's just a half a degree off. That's no big deal. You're never going to get to Sydney, Australia, because you're going to be way off by the time you get there. So here's what I'm saying. We have to stay close to the Word of God. We have to stick with the sensitivity of our spirit, because we're serving the Most High God. You getting anything tonight? All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You know, some people will say, well, you know, Jesus will just take you as you are. And I believe that with all of my heart. He did me. But he didn't leave me as I was. He didn't leave me the way I was. I got into the Word and I changed. When I saw the Word of God and I saw something in the Word of God, I said, well, I need to change that. In fact, when I first got saved, I was so saved that if I even felt God wanted me to do something, I was doing it. So if I read a book on fasting, I was fasting. If it was praying, I was praying. If it was whatever I felt like was in there, I was going to do, because I wanted to please God. But I'll tell you that I was with some folks that I got saved on, or I got saved with, but there was something in me that went, you need to go in a different direction. And that's when I went to Bible colleges. I went in a different direction because God led me out from underneath that, because there were some problems there. See, God wants to put you in a place where you're right on with God. And so when you get that check in your spirit, don't ignore it, but seek it out. Seek the Word. Watch this. Anything that is of God will line up with His Word. And you won't have to twist the Scriptures to make them fit the belief that you're trying to go with. It will line up with His Word 100% of the time. We don't get our doctrine to line up, you know, or the Word to line up with our doctrine. We make our doctrine line up to the Word. Verse 11. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you, and our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now in return for the same, I speak to you as children, you also be open. He's saying, listen, I want you to flow in everything that God has for you. I'm not trying to hold you back. I'm not trying to tell you can't do this or you can't do this or God won't use you in all of these areas. I'm not trying to do that. But you're my children. I need to speak to you as children. Because I have concerns. Verse 14, it says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Listen, I'm not saying that you have to throw out all your non-Christian friends, or you can't be around non-Christian. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that if that's all that you're around, you're in trouble. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? It doesn't even make sense. Why are we going to movies that are dedicated to evil spirits and spirits coming out of places? And why are we doing that? Stop it. Stop it. Why are we watching movies with seances or with spells or with incantations? Well, you know, it's okay. Those are good witches. I'm just reading. It says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion is light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and I will walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. I've been reading in my daily reading in the Old Testament. I've been reading through Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and then into 1 Kings and now I'm into 2 Kings. And you know what brought the Israelites down more than anything else? Is they'd go into an area and God said, don't have anything to do with their idols. Don't go. But they would start to intermingle with the people. Now watch this. It infers that one of the biggest inroads in was, she looks hot. And so, how you doing? Well, I'm doing fine. You know, you're kind of cute. Yeah. And it's, well, hey, listen, we've been hanging around a while. Come and see my idol. Let's go to the Asheroth pole. It won't be so bad. You can go on the Sabbath to the temple, but it's Friday night. Let's go to my club. Right? And every time it was just innocent at the beginning, but then it became ingrained in them to where they were completely torn away from the presence of God. And fully enveloped into idolatry. And that's when the wrath of God came upon them, because they left the presence of God to go to idolatry. And the Bible says that God is a jealous God. Why? The whole purpose for everything that He's done since the fall of man was to bring man back to Him. Jesus came so that we might have fellowship with the Father and that the sin problem might be dealt with. But He has His church going right back into the sin. And He's saying, it's killing you. Stop it. Stop compromising. And really, it's just this simple. If you know it's wrong, quit doing it. If you know you're not supposed to go there, don't go there. This one man that I know, he's no longer in the church, but he had so much integrity. He came to me, it was when the Passion of the Christ came out, right? And the Passion of the Christ, I mean, most of us saw that movie, right? Great movie. But when it came out, it was rated R because of the brutality that Jesus went through. And he came to me, he said, Pastor, he said, I can't go see that movie. I said, why? It's rated R. I don't go to R-rated movies. See, his integrity said, I can't do it. You say, well, that's just religious. But how many of us have compromised in those areas? And it's like God is saying, it's not okay. It's not okay. You're taking me with you into places that you shouldn't take me. I'm as guilty as anybody else, anybody in this room. But God is saying, are you ready for my glory? Are you ready, really ready for the awe of God to come back into the place? If you are, I want to prepare you, and I want to prepare your heart, and I want you to begin to get alone with me. When's the last time that we really cried out to God and said, God, show me my heart, and if there's anything that's in me that's not pleasing to you, Lord, reveal it to me, because I want it out. I want to please you more than I want to please me. And God is calling us to that place. I believe that with all my heart. I believe he is. Again, verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. He's not talking to Old Testament Christian people. He's talking to believers here. He's talking to a church that came out of idolatry. He's talking to a church that came out of ritual sacrifices. He's talking about people that had been in the world and seen all kinds of different things. And he's saying, look at, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So in closing tonight, I just want to ask all of us, are we the sons and daughters of the Most High God? Is he holy? Is he allowed to those places in your heart that you shut off because compromise has opened the door to something else? If it is, tonight, right now, it's just right now, it's like, Lord, help us with that. Help me with that, Lord. Help me, Lord, wherever I know that I'm not right with you. I'm not doing what you want me to do. Help me, Lord, to shut the doors that need to be shut and open the doors that need to be opened. I don't need counseling, Lord. I don't even need somebody else's prayers from that standpoint, Lord. I just need to get right with you. This is between me and you, Lord, and it's only against you that I've sinned. So, Lord, I'm coming to you this night, right now. I'm asking you to forgive me. But I don't want you to forgive me so I can just get up and do it again. I'm asking you, Lord, to help me, deliver me, set me free. Forgive me for walking back into places I should have never gone. And, Lord, direct me into your holy place one more time. I long for your presence, God. I long for your holiness. And tonight, God, I'm running to you. So whether you're at home or you're in the building tonight, just talk with the Lord openly and honestly. And I'm not here to point out anything in you that's wrong. I'm just asking you to open your heart so that God can cleanse you and bring you back to the place of purity in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for doing that. Holy Spirit, I thank you for causing that to happen. And we yield to you right now. We yield to you right now. If we've yielded our bodies to places they shouldn't have been, Father, forgive us. Forgive us, God. We'll quit making excuses. And we'll come to you, Father, and ask you to forgive us, and we need your help to get out of it. If our minds have been allowed to meditate on things that they shouldn't, God, we ask you to forgive us. And we put our minds back on you. We love you tonight, Lord, and we're running for you tonight, Lord. We're asking you to fill us with you tonight, Lord. As the psalmist said, don't take your Holy Spirit from me, and I know you won't. But Lord, we don't want to take our hearts from you. So we're running back to you right now in Jesus' name. Flood us, Lord, with your holiness, with the hunger for your righteousness tonight, Lord. This night, in this place. And Lord, we'll give you all of the glory and all the honor. But Lord, we don't want a 2-second deal and walk out of here the same way. Visit us tonight. Speak with us tonight. Show us tonight. We invite your goodness to lead us to repentance tonight. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. We love you, we worship you, we honor you. And Lord, we give you our lives tonight. Completely. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, bless those that are watching online. And Lord, I just pray that the same Spirit that's hovering in this place will hover in their living rooms or their bedrooms or in their cars. I thank you, Lord, for touching us tonight. We're moving toward you in a powerful and a real way. We thank you, Lord, for meeting with us. Bless those, Lord, who's watching online. If you don't know Jesus, just reach out to him and say, I need a Savior. Jesus, I believe in my heart that you're Lord and that God, you've raised him from the dead. If you'll do that, he'll meet you right where you are. Thank you, Lord. We praise you and we honor you tonight. Jesus' name. Amen.